If it's a sports story you're talking about, you can guarantee they'll be talking about it. Unless it's something like arena football. This is Sportsnet Magazine Live on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
You want to talk about the flaws then, Gary? Because you said we're not doing a good enough job talking about the flaws.
Well, I think everyone's doing a great job of talking about the number one flaw for this team right now, and it's been Freddie Anderson. So, you know, he has not gotten off to the great start. And, you know, in his defense, he did suffer an injury before the season in trying to, play a qualifier with his country. So, you know, goalies suffer probably most of any player when you miss a chunk of training camp. Like, those are the players that really want to get their timing on. So the fact that he missed a good chunk ahead of the season, I think, is probably playing a big part in his slow start. And credit to how Mike Babcock has handled that situation. You know, the other night when Tampa Bay was, like, you know, putting goal after goal behind him, he kept him in there. Like, how many coaches would have pulled the goalies after three or four? And he left them out there. And, you know,
any coach who was a goaltender when he was playing. But
and you know what? And Freddie came back on, in a few days later and beat the Florida Panthers and looked pretty good doing it.
Yeah, maybe his best game of the season outside of that Bruins game. I think when I look at Frederick Anderson, of course, I look at him measuring him with a different set of criteria, because the young players, the Mitch Marners, the Austin Matthews, the William Nylanders, they're still getting their feet wet. They're part of the rebuild. You can project them going forward. Gare, is Frederick Anderson really part of this rebuild? He's under a long-term deal at $5 million per over 5 years. Like, he's supposed to be the established guy who's, okay, maybe he's not the greatest goalie, he's not Carey Price, but he's a rung or two below that. He's supposed to give you above-average goaltending day in, day out.
Yeah, it's a different curve for goaltenders, a different standard that you're really measuring them against. You're not getting 21-year-old starters, number one goaltenders for contenders. That just doesn't happen, or it's an unrealistic expectation. But that said, his introduction into this lineup, he's expected to be farther along the curve than your Mitch Marners and Nylanders and whomever else. The fact is, he never established himself as a number one in Anaheim. So you're asking him to step in and assume a responsibility that he's never had before.
Well, which makes the signing a little bit of a head scratcher, right?
Completely.
Right, because what was the impetus for that? Why? Like, what harm would it have done to watch this guy, see how he asserted himself as the number one goalie in this city, which is, I don't know if you buy into the fact that this city can chew up goaltenders, but it has. Certainly, you look at the history, there's guys that have not been able to cut it in the city of Toronto.
It was a relapse into old Leaf management style. Right.
Yeah.
In that we're going to give ourselves a vote of confidence. You know, I mean, that's the only explanation that you could really have. You won a news cycle. We got a goaltender and he's worth this, you know, and really he hadn't proven it. Anaheim knew Frederick Anderson better than the Toronto Maple Leafs did.
Yeah.
And they knew John Gibson. They decided to go with John Gibson. Now there's probably other factors involved there in youth and contract would factor into it. But the team that trades someone away knows him better than you do.
Well, and you can say all you want about him, and you can talk about the way he's been treated by the head coach, Mike Babcock. He's really has no choice, right? Like, this is his goaltender for the next 5 years. That's part of it, is that there are other aspects of this team that are malleable, that can change. Certainly the defense core doesn't look that great. But you don't expect that to be the same next year, the year after that. That's an area that needs to be improved upon. Everybody, I think, understands that. The management of this Leafs team understands that. Mike Babcock understands that.
I don't understand it. You're saying he's going to be the goaltender in 5 years? I'll come back here in 5 years and we'll see if he's goaltender.
Well, what do you do? You can bury a guy who's making $5 million per and he's not a number one goaltender? What do you do? They already have $10 million in dead money on the salary cap. You're going to throw another $5 million there if he's no good?
He's going to go down as the best goalie in Marley's history, for sure. But, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, it's what happens in sports. Players and their expectations are often tied to the type of contract they have. You know, if the Leafs hadn't signed Frederick Anderson to that 5-year deal before the season started, it wouldn't be such a big concern right now. Yeah, it'd be like he's off to a slow start.
Right.
But the fact that he's tied to a 5-year deal is what makes it more of a pressing issue.
I mean, that's where I come down on it. If he was a guy just took a bridge deal that was only under contract for a year or two, and you could see making a change at some point if he proved to the world that he was not ready for prime time as the number one goalie in the city. It's a different situation than a guy that's under five-year deal at $5 million per. But, Gary, you're telling me that that's no big deal.
No, I'm not saying it's no big deal. I don't see him moving before the season's over or anything like that. I'm just saying by the time you hit year four of that deal, it's different. It's a different story. Then we're talking about he only has this left on his contract.
Well, year four. And maybe
But you're telling me he's going to be here for 5 years. Like, okay. He's going to be here for two parades.
Yeah. Well, year four, you'd hope the Leafs are, I mean, you can see the finish line by then, and probably they've had a playoff run or two under their belt by year four, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and if he's the guy that got them there, then maybe he's worth the money at that point. Or he's a backup getting paid $5 million per.
Well, whether they have a playoff run or two might depend on his play
right.
in those few years, so who knows? Maybe it's something about the California goalies. Like, the Leafs love going after these Cali goalies that just never
met. Don't say his name.
I won't say his name. But,
best
you know,
Toskel, I'll say it.
Well, that doesn't end there too, right? There's been a few since Toskel as well, so that just haven't worked out as they planned. But it's a weird phrase to even use, but has the bar been set too high in Toronto with goaltenders? Like, you go back to like the 90s with Potvin, and you know, he had a couple of really great years with the Maple Leafs, then you went into Cujo and you had the Belfour. But since then, it's been really hard to, you know, Bernier didn't have a terrible first year here in Toronto, yet it still wasn't seen as enough for, you know, the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, if Anderson were on a no trade and, you know, he was the city sweetheart or whatever, fine. But you know what? If there's a possibility to move him and upgrade in goal, I think you'd do it. I don't think there's any question. So I would say I don't think odds are quite 50-50 that he's going to be here in 5 years.
This is Sportsnet Magazine Live.